Merry meet. My name is Ariel, and this is A Witch's Primer, Basic Training in Non-Denominational Witchcraft. Join in the discussion at thedcw.999.org. That's thedcw.999.org. Blessed be. Merry meet, everyone. I hope you're enjoying these classes. I'm certainly enjoying teaching them to you. In my original book, A Witch's Primer, I did not include this next lesson, but I'm going to include it now because I think it's important that we discuss it right away before we get on to all the other stuff, all the magic and things like that. We need to talk about different states of consciousness as they relate to witchcraft. In our normal, everyday waking consciousness, we have, for most of us, very little access to our deep mind. And the deep mind is where all of the magic takes place. The deepest part of our mind is accessed while we're sleeping. And notice how when you're asleep, your dreams, the world in your dreams is a very different kind of world than the world of your waking consciousness. Now, some so-called experts say that these are things that are just brain functions and therapeutic kinds of things that are going on inside of you, and that's fine. Maybe that's true, maybe that's not. But for most witches, the dream world is an actual world. It's another reality. It's a separate reality from what is commonly thought of as the real world or our waking reality, the mortal world. When we're working magic or we're making contact with the spirits, the gods, the goddesses, the elementals, all of these things that are not usually part of the so-called mortal world, our minds need to be tuned to a different frequency because they work on different frequencies. Magic works on a different frequency than the mortal world. So in order to access those frequencies, we must train ourselves to enter into what is often called a magical trance, a witch's trance. It's sometimes called going into the silence or going within, parting the veils, parting the mists, jumping the abyss. There's all kinds of different ways of that people use to describe what we're talking about. True magic, in my teaching and my understanding from all the different traditions that I've learned and anything that's actually given me results, true magic only happens when you're able to access this deep mind. It's a very similar thing to what hypnotherapists are using, and I think that they are, a lot of hypnotherapists straddle almost working magic, although they don't want to talk about it in those terms, many of them. But in magic and witchcraft, we have to be able to access that mind at will while remaining awake without necessarily going to sleep. And once we are able to master those modes of awareness, those modes of consciousness, that's when the real training begins. That's when you can work your magic. That's when you can rise to different astral planes, leave your body and go flying and traveling, not only traveling on the astral plane to different parts of this world, but to also different dimensions. And this is also where, and we'll talk about these things in later lessons, this is where you are able to communicate with the spirit world, and you have one or many, sometimes spirit mentors or spirit teachers, sometimes people call them spirit guides, where you learn the bulk of the wisdom, the bulk of your magic, the bulk of the details of the craft are actually going to be accessed from this state of mind, not from listening to podcasts or reading books. However, before we get into all that, it's very important that we discuss that there is value in reading, a lot of value in reading and in learning, because the more your conscious mind has in the way of vocabulary, the easier it is for the spirit world to communicate with you. So a lot of people will talk to me about this new witch book and that new witch book, and I'm not very well read on a lot of the popular craft literature. And I know what little I have read, some of it's very, very good, and there's just a lot of it. But that's not where my emphasis lies when it comes to educating myself on the craft. My emphasis lies reading books on mythology and archetypes, psychology, especially Jungian type of psychology, those kinds of things. Not necessarily a modern craft literature. I'm very interested in, there's only so many hours in the day for me to read, so I'm usually more interested in getting my mind to have more symbols available to it, so that when I'm working magic, that spirit has more language to communicate with me. So, and I'm not saying that you shouldn't read modern craft literature, but you may want to consider studying more about the mythological origins of the craft, rather than the common practice craft. There's a lot of wisdom to be gleaned there, regardless of what pantheon you are interested in. In fact, learn about all of them. Learn about the Egyptians. Learn about the ancient Celts. Read all those. I mean, if you're involved at all in the Celtic craft or want to be involved in it, your best source material is actually the historical books, so the books of history, the archaeology and the sociology of ancient peoples. That's going to give you a lot of information as to what those gods and goddesses are, who they are. Because remember, and we'll talk about this later, but these gods and goddesses and these spirits, they're real. They're real entities. They're real beings. They're real consciousnesses. And the more you understand them, the easier it is for you to communicate with them. But anyway, we'll talk about all that later. Today, I want to talk about that when you're working magic, it's very important that you're able to get into a very deep trance, a very deep state, while maintaining consciousness, because you want to be able to, when you're working magic, be able to focus your mind and be in a state of trance. One of the reasons why people are not effective in magic is either because A, they are not able to get deep enough into a magical state of consciousness, and or B, that they are far too indulgent in mind wandering, and their minds wander and they're not able to focus and concentrate their minds on the task at hand. And so in order to become adept at the craft, it's very important that you train your mind to be able to get into these deep states of consciousness while maintaining a laser point of focus. Now, I hope that you've been working with the grounding and centering exercise on a regular basis, because that's always something like that. You don't have to use my exact exercise, but something like that is the first step before you do any kind of operation. Now, there's many ways of inducing a magical trance, many valid ways. Anything that's rhythmic, for instance, ritual drumming will induce a magical trance. Ritual dance will induce a magical trance. Think of the whirling dervishes. That's a type of trance work, trance dancing. Anything repetitive, weaving, spinning, driving a car, watching television, listening to music, all these things can induce a trance type state. But what makes it a magical trance is if you're doing it consciously with awareness and being able to focus your mind and not let your mind wander. You're able to stay conscious and aware while you're doing it. So one of the old ways that I've been taught, and that I'm going to share with you in the exercise that is the appendix to this podcast, is what I call the orb of power. And this has a dual role, is it's a wonderful trance induction to for you to be able to get in, into and access your deep mind, and something that I recommend that you use on a daily basis, once or twice a day. Eventually, you won't need the meditation. You can just do it on your own. That's the whole idea. So you're going to be building this globe or orb of a very bright light, and you want to color that light either white or some the witch light oftentimes is seen as is so white that it's kind of electric blue. It's sort of a bluish white light that's always seen as a power, a sense of power for us. So it's so light that it's blue. You know, electric blue. Like think of a gas flame. When you turn on a gas stove, that kind of color, or a Bunsen burner, that color. It's so hot, it's bluish white. So that's the witch light, the witch power. And so this globe of light, you'll see when we do the meditation, but eventually you are going to be building this globe all throughout your body, this orb. And what happens is within this light, you are able to become entranced. And at the same time, you are reinforcing your aura. It's a type of spiritual purification where you're reinforcing your aura. Your whole aura is becoming very protected and purified and cleansed. And that way, when it does come time for you to do spirit contact, you're in a good neighborhood. And we'll talk about this later, but you know, just a lot of people are worried about the spirit world as being kind of dangerous. And that's why they don't want to do a lot of this kind of work, because they hear about people being possessed by demons and things like that. In my experience, the physical world is much, much more dangerous than the spirit world. But just like in the spirit world, I mean, just like in the physical world, it depends on what neighborhood you're in a lot of times. And if you're in a good neighborhood, then you're going to be around people that are safe. Well, if you're in a good neighborhood spiritually, meaning a higher plane, you're going to attract spirits who are very, very helpful. And we'll talk about that in the podcast on spirit contact. So this is a great work that we're going to be exploring today. While you are in a magical state of consciousness, when you are in a magical state of awareness, you are not necessarily dead to the world. You don't have to be so deep that your body doesn't move. It's okay to be that deep, especially if you're doing using it as a daily meditation. But you're also able to maintain that awareness and move about your ritual space to conduct your ritual. But you don't necessarily want to carry this magical trance out of your ritual space into the real world. You want to be able to leave that and come back into the mortal world so that you can interact in an appropriate way with your fellow human beings. The globe or orb of light that you'll be building is not obviously the only way to. There's so many great ways to get into the. To get into the trance. This is just one way that I've learned, and it's a great way. It has another function, which is kind of fun, and if you've heard any of my meditations, you may have seen that we've used this. It can be used as a vehicle for astral projection, and I find it much more elegant and comfortable than riding on a broomstick, personally. And I don't know if the people that did the Wizard of Oz were maybe a little enlightened when they used that as Glinda's vehicle or what, or if that was just a coincidence, but it's a very similar kind of look and feel and function. I want to really reiterate that it's also very important that you come out of the trance and that you're very clear when you're back, that the magic is done, that it's over. And we'll talk about circle casting in another podcast, but I want you to make sure that you are getting able to enter and exit this state at will very easily. So once you're done with your magic and you want to come out, make sure that not only is the that you visualize yourself coming out, but stamp the ground, clap your hands, disperse the energy, make sure that you are very clear that it's over, that it's done, and that you are entering another realm. The mortal world is now where you are operating. That way you don't go around spaced out, and you don't start to lose your sense of effectiveness in the mortal world. It's very important. It's very, very important that you understand when you're working in doing any kind of trance work that while you're in the trance, you're completely committed to the trance. But when you're out of the trance, you are completely out of the trance. It's very, I don't like the word dangerous. It's not dangerous. It's just very sloppy. It's just very sloppy if you don't finish your work properly. Now, daily meditation is very important for anybody on any kind of path of awakening, but it's extremely important for witches because we are working with a lot of different types of powers and energies that we are trying to balance within our spirit bodies and direct them and manipulate them in positive ways to create positive change in our lives and in the world. And therefore, it's of primary importance that we stay very centered into what our own spiritual purpose and spiritual function is. And once you are using meditation on a daily basis and you have introduced yourself, if you haven't already, and I'll be doing this later in another podcast, to spiritual mentors in the spirit world, that you're able to basically go into your classroom on a daily basis to receive instruction. That's where you get a clear picture of what your life is about, where you've come from, where you're going, why you're here, where the world is, and what your place in the world is, how you can affect change positively in the world. You have a clearer vantage point when you're able to meditate on a daily basis, rather than just taking one thing as it comes and sort of like rolling around your life like a feather in the wind, going from situation to situation and casting spells here and there and doing divinations out of fear or whatever. Instead, if you're meditating on a daily basis, you're coming from a perspective of knowledge, of knowing who you are and why you're here. And that's what our purpose really should be, no matter what your spiritual path is, what your magical path is, knowing what your, as the Thelemites would call, what your true will is, what your function is here in the world. The only way to find that out is to go within, to go deep within, and to meditate on these truths and allow these truths to keep expanding and growing within. So in this respect, the craft is definitely a spiritual path. It doesn't necessarily have to be a religious path for you, but it's definitely a path of growth and unfoldment and spiritual awareness. And when I say spiritual, not only spiritual meaning personal spiritual awareness, but awareness of the spirit world. And the only effective way to become truly aware of the spirit world is by going into these deep magical states of consciousness on a daily basis, practicing them, staying very focused, and being able to enter and exit these states of consciousness at will. So again, if you haven't been practicing your grounding and centering, I would probably wait on this next exercise until you've been doing that for at least a week or so, and just just hold off. Go ahead and go back and do some of the food consecration, the spiritual purification exercises, and the grounding and centering. Do those for a while before you start doing the trance work, because the trance work won't be as effective until you are working the more preliminary exercises. All right? So I hope this has been interesting to you. I hope that you're enjoying all of this, and go ahead and start working on your on building your magical power now. And if you haven't done so already, I would recommend that you start collecting some of your tools. Again, the tools don't have to be anything elaborate. In fact, I don't like real elaborate tools. They can blend away. They don't have to be anything special. You know, all that special looking. They can be very, I mean, your wand can just be a stick that to you looks very pretty, but doesn't call attention to itself. And your knife could be a kitchen knife, could look like a kitchen knife, or like I said, a letter opener. Your chalice can be just a goblet of water. And your altar, I think it's important that you start working at an altar every day. Now, if you don't have a place where you can have a permanent altar set up, that's fine. But look at this idea. Go to a linen store or something like that, where they sell, housewares, and get a nice placemat. Get a really nice placemat that's of the color you want. I mean, you don't have to use black. Some people prefer to use whites. Some people want to have a different color for each work that they're doing. That's fine. But get a placemat, and that can be your altar cloth. And then just have a couple of candles, or a single candle is fine. Maybe a stone or a crystal or a gem to represent the element of earth. A candle for fire. If you can burn incense, a little incense holder, and it could even be a stick incense to represent the element of air, or a feather, if that's easier for you. If you can't burn incense, and a little goblet and go ahead and put some actual water in the goblet. Remember that water attracts spirit, it attracts spiritual energy. So if you put the water on your altar, make sure it's fresh water that you just put on your altar. And all of these positive things that you're doing, all this kind of light work that you're doing, the stuff that we're doing, these preliminary exercises, will be attracting very good positive spiritual energy. And that will automatically be absorbed in that water. So make use of it. Your first work, your first magical work, after you're done with the grounding and centering and all of that stuff, and working maybe with this trance work, take that water and sprinkle it around and do a little house blessing, and then pour the rest of it over the threshold of your house and state very clearly that you are blessing this threshold and all who cross it. Until next time, I'm enjoying working with you. Feel free to email me with any questions, or better yet, go ahead and join the forum and email all of us, and we can all help you out. Love and blessings. Mary Part.